101.5 Community Kitchen, proudly sponsored by Simply Good, your self-service bulk food store at 156 Moray Field Road by KFC.
And welcome to Community Kitchen. We try to bring really interesting food items to the show. And of course, so many influences of food that we talk about, different countries. And we talk about our pantry food, which is something that can turn a simple carrot, as we talked about, into something like a beautiful Indian dish. Today, we're actually going to take you to a really exotic place, and we're going to be talking to a lady who has a business called The Exotic Bazaar. So we welcome Gila to the microphone. Good morning, Gila.
Good morning. Thanks, Annette, for having me.
Oh, it's lovely. I had the pleasure of actually stumbling across your beautiful blends that you make at one of the marketplaces, and I couldn't help but bring that to the radio to share. You've got a really interesting influence in your food, Turkish, Persian, Iranian.
Yes, I do. So at Exotic Bazaar, what we do is we bring all the exotic flavors from Middle East to Australia, and that is something that wasn't that much highlighted or readily available in Australia when I first migrated to Australia from Iran. So what we do is we have all these flavors from, as you said, Iran, Turkey, Morocco, Lebanon, and all these different beautiful places with beautiful food culture. We bring them here to Australia, and actually we make all these in Australia. So we make all these recipe bases that are like simmer sauces. We make them in Australia. We make our spice blends in Australia, and we try to source most of our ingredients in Australia as well. So we are truly blending Middle Eastern and the exotic flavors of Middle East with the goodness of the good ingredients in Australia by supporting local businesses. So that is what we do.
It's interesting, isn't it, how there's different food trends. I remember when, you know, once upon a time when Vietnamese food first hit and everyone was really enticed, yet there's a real, real interest in Middle Eastern food. And, you know, all those different flavours, some of the combinations are really interesting. Like one of the ones that I bought, one of the combinations was a peppery turmeric and lime. And so this is something that is an ethnic meal in Turkey, is it?
Yes. So that's shalwan, that is our Turkish recipe base. And that is a combination of the highlighted flavors when you have Turkish food. The name is peppery turmeric and lime. And that actually was we changed that name to a Turkish recipe base to highlight the fact that it's coming from Turkey. But these ingredients, turmeric, pepper, paprika, tomato-based flavors, these are very like Turkey. And with Middle Eastern food, Turkish food, Iranian food, one of the things that is really important, and I am from Iran, so I can, I guess, give you a bit more information about Iranian food or Persian food, is that the balance of flavors is really important in these cuisines. And by balance, I'm talking about the fact that you don't have a flavor jumping at you or slapping you in the face with covering other flavors like high in chili. Of course, every cuisine has a few dishes that are chili-based and are stronger in flavor. But most of the Middle Eastern food, like Mediterranean food, are mainly mild. And it's all about the balance of ingredients. We believe that each ingredient has its own way in terms of how it changes the balance of your body. And you always pair ingredients together in a way that it serves your body and it brings balance to your body. I haven't heard it in Australia much, as it's not talked about. But when you go to Middle East, especially when you go to Iran, one of the things that is talked about a lot around food is that if that ingredient is going to bring heat to your body or is it going to bring cold to your body. And by that, it means about how hard it is to your digestive system. And you balance ingredients together in a way that it keeps the temperature of your gut correct and your body correct. And they help digestion of each other. They help they bring the balance of the ingredients to you. For instance, one of my favorite cooking sauces that we have is based on walnut and pomegranate. It's called Fesanjoon. That one is a very traditional North Iranian dish, and it is made from walnut and pomegranate. And because we believe that, or it is true, that the walnut, we call it a warm ingredient, and pomegranate is a cool ingredient, and they kind of balance each other in your body. So Middle Eastern food is very much about that balance. You pair turmeric and pepper together, and that's when you can get all the benefits of turmeric, the curcumin that's in turmeric and is in pepper. The pepper works as a carrier for turmeric, and it helps to bring inflammation in your body down, for instance. Or other dishes that we have, it's all about the balance of flavors and the balance of ingredients. Another dish that I want to talk to you about, it's called qaymeh. It is a tomato-based sauce. It has a turmeric, pepper, and everything, but one ingredient that has in it, and you'll see it at the back of the jar, is rose water. So when you have qaymeh, you may not even be able to say there's rose water in there, but there is some sort of aroma when you put it, and it's always important how much you put of each ingredient, because you think, oh, tomato and rose water, it doesn't make sense, but it actually does, because when you have a little bit of rose water on tomato, like you have a little bit of salt on tomato, that's when you actually can smell the beauty aroma of tomato. It helps you taste it better. It helps you, it kind of like elevates your mood first before you start having, because the first experience you have from food is the smell. And that's really important, yeah. So you smell something beautiful, you put it in your mouth, and then you enjoy the texture and flavors around your mouth, and then you swallow it. So that is all the philosophy behind Middle Eastern cuisine.
Now, you also have some, I mean, rice is just not just rice, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the family table today about a beautiful crusty bottom Persian rice, which, you know, I've watched this on different cooking shows, and getting that crusty bottom is just, it's a bit of a challenge, isn't it?
Well, I would say no, it's actually very easy. it's literally when you get the hang of it, you cannot not have it. For my everyday cooking, I make tadik every day without even going through that lengthy process. So it has a few tips and tricks, and you will have it literally on every rice. So I have some tips and tricks for you to make the perfect rice every time.
Oh, perfect. Now, one thing I love is, you know, that lovely combination that, you know, you're using different, like almonds and walnuts, and that they add that texture too, don't they? I mean, that just gives that little bit of a crunch. But once again, that different type of combination, and using the different split peas and goodies like that. One thing I found really interesting, one of the actual cards I had was a particular sauce, and you serve it with French fries.
That's the qaymeh that I talked to you about, the one with the rose water. Yes, that dish is a very, very favorite. That dish is a very popular dish in Iran. That dish, we serve it in everyday, as an everyday lunch, or you can find it in festivals and gatherings, even ceremonies and weddings. It is that popular, and it's very easy to make as well. And yes, having French fries on top is traditional, and it's a key ingredient. So how you make that one is you cook some split peas. Traditionally, it goes with lamb, but if you want to have it with vegetarian, you can just leave the lamb out. It's the split peas. It's the sauce that is the qaymeh, and you top it up with French fries. And another ingredient that you can add if you're having it vegetarian is eggplant. So if you fry your eggplant and you have it, this dish is just beautiful. And especially who doesn't like French fries, but it actually really works with this dish.
I think also I'm imagining that lime would really, once again, you're talking about that balance, would really bring that spice to alive, wouldn't it, with that just that little bit of lime? Yes, beautiful.
Yeah. I do use black lime in that dish, and black lime is a Persian lime, or black lime, or you know it as limu or lumi. These are all the names that are known for It's a special kind of lime coming from the Middle East that is really bitter and very sour, and you wouldn't have it in a fresh form. You would only have it in dry form as a spice. And that's the spice that I use a lot in several dishes. One of them is famous, and that one is the key ingredient. So when you have it, you get the freshness of lime with a hint that it's not bitter, but it's very complex and umami. And that is the unique flavor that you taste in this otherwise simply tomato-based sauce.
Well, what we'll do is we'll come back and we're going to be talking Kids Kitchen. And I think you've got a nice little cake that they can actually create there. So we'll be back very shortly on Community Kitchen.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we're talking exotic flavours and we're talking to Gila this morning, and she's bringing that lovely Middle Eastern food and Middle Eastern cooking to the Community Kitchen. So welcome back, Gila.
Thank you very much.
And welcome into the Kids Kitchen. We always like to try and bring something interesting. So I think you've got a nice little surprise for those kids this morning who would like to be cooking.
Yeah, I do. One of the things that I heard a lot, and this is something that actually other moms told me, that during this pandemic, everyone's looking for activities to do with kids. And one of the things that moms are doing is they are taking their kids through different parts of the world. Now that we can't travel, we can still travel through food. And one of the places that you can take your kids is to ancient Persia or take them to Middle East, and you can make this beautiful Persian love cake with them. And one thing that's really nice about Persian love cake is the flavor. So when you get this, we have the ready Persian love cake mix. When you get the Persian love cake mix, when you open the pack, obviously it makes it really easy for the kids. And when they open the pack, the first thing that jumps to you is the smell. It's the beautiful aroma that you get from it. And you can talk about that as, this is the flavor. This is the aroma, as if you step into the Persian lands and the ancient Persia, and that is the first place that you go to, Iran and those historical places with beautiful spices. And you can make this Persian latte. You just need to add a few ingredients like egg and butter, and you finish it off with a beautiful rose water icing. So you get the rose water as well. We send you a little bottle of rose water that you make with the mixed with the pre-made icing, and then you can put this nice pink icing that again smells like rose water on this cake, and then top it up with the garnish that comes with it, and that's the rose petal, almond and pistachio garnish. So in this pack you pretty much get all the aroma and the exotic ingredients from Iran, from Persia. And that is a very nice education, and I see that kids really like it, because firstly it's easy to make. It has few steps, so you don't just mix the cake and put it in the oven. When you put it in the oven, you need to wait for it to cool down, and then you need to make the icing, and then you put the garnish on. And because of that, and because the finished product looks really nice and tastes really nice, that gives you a little kind of joy of success with kids.
So with the Persian love cake, is that like an almond-based type of cake, or is it just a regular flour cake?
No, it is an almond-based type of cake. We have it in gluten-free as well. But yes, it is dense and moist like other almond cakes, so like your Friand, for instance. You can make it even into cupcakes. I really like it when you make it in cupcakes, because it's beautiful and cute and everyone can have a little bite for themselves.
I think children, they love the good old mixing bowl too, don't they? That they can actually lick all the ingredients. I think that's half the fun of cooking. I remember we used to have a bit of a battle as children, and we always enjoyed that. And, you know, you're right, aren't you, with that rose water. I often just put a few drops, if I've got some lovely strawberries, I'll often just put a few drops of rose water on the strawberries, and it just brings the flavour out. It's just absolutely beautiful. Such a nice flavour. And also orange water. You know, it's along the same. I imagine that in Persian cooking or in Middle Eastern cooking, a lot of the orange water is also used just to bring that lovely flavour to some foods.
obviously we have a lot of these skills. One of them is the orange water, and it's an orange blossom. So these are all different distills. The distills are from different flowers. So it could be orange blossom, it could be rose, it could be other flowers. They have mint distills, and there's a lot of benefits to them. But I love orange blossom water.
Yes, beautiful. So that's Kids Kitchen. We're going to be coming back very shortly, and I think we're going to learn a couple of little tricks how to make this fantastic crusty bottom Persian rice. We'll be back very shortly.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to The Community Kitchen. Of course, this morning we have the pleasure of talking to Gila from Exotic Bazaar. And we're going to be talking this special dish. So welcome back, Gila.
Thank you very much, Anna.
So I was saying earlier in the show that I've watched this a couple of times. Even Adam Liao made this the other day and the bottom wasn't crusty. And
no, so, you failed it.
So,
I'm like, oh, my God, oh, dear.
So with this, what gives it that lovely? It's the ghee, isn't it?
Yes, it's the ghee or the butter or any oil you can pot. And one thing happened with Adam Liao, let me tell you, is that he failed because he used the wrong pot. I think he used a kind of like a casserole dish. It was too thick and the rice is thick to it. So you should not use a casserole dish or any pot that things could stick to it. So you normally use a non-stick pot that is not too thick like a casserole dish. So that was why Adam's tahdig didn't work. The crusty bottom is called tahdig because basically it means bottom of the pot. Tah means bottom and dig means a pot. Actually, that's what tajin or tahjin also means. It's something that you layer from bottom to top. That is what it means. For that crusty bottom, it is very easy. Basically, it is the rice that is at the bottom with oil, kind of like cooked and fried at the same time, and it makes that a nice layer. When you make that rice, it's also a healthy way of making the rice because you kind of wash the starch off. You make this rice the same way as you make your pasta. So what you do is that you first wash your rice and clean off a fair bit of starch out of it. Then you bring a pot of water into boiling. You can have, for instance, if you're making 2 cups of rice, and I suggest 2 cups of rice for 4 people. Normally, you can allocate 1/2 cup of rice to 1 person. And I'm a rice eater. I think it'll be enough for you as well. So you have 2 cups of rice that you are cooking for 4 people. You wash it. And then another important thing is whilst your water is boiling or even for a longer time, it's really nice if you allow your rice to soak in water for a little bit, at least 10 minutes. That really helps the rice to kind of like come to life, we call it. In that 10 minutes when you're washing the rice, and of course I'm talking about white rice, but you can make it with brown rice or black rice or red rice as well. It doesn't matter. You can put tahdig on any rice. So you soak your rice for about 10 minutes. You have a big pot of water boiling. When the water comes to boil, you put your soaked rice into the water. And it's good if you have put about 2 tablespoons or 3 tablespoons of salt in it. What the salt does is that it your rice will absorb the salt whilst it's cooking as well. So you don't need to add any salt to the rice later. So you put the rice in the pot and then the pot is on the stove boiling. It is the water comes to boil again and the rice is kind of starts dancing on the surface. That's what we call it, dancing on the surface. When your rice is dancing on the surface and they're coming off, they are kind of al dente, you use this strainer and you drain the water. So you put the whole pot in the strainer, the whole water will wash out and you have the rice in your strainer. The next step is that you put a good amount of butter or oil at the bottom of your non-stick pot with a few tablespoons of water. What does the water do is that it kind of like allows the steam to come up and steam your rice. What I do is I put the butter at the bottom of the pot And instead of water, I use a saffron bloom or a saffron brew. So what it is that you grind your saffron, you put some hot water into it, about 3-4 tablespoons, and you let your saffron to bloom or brew. And that's the best way of using saffron. I would never put a saffron thread in my food because it does not give you the goodness, the full properties and the full flavor of saffron. You always have to bloom or brew it. And that is why, or if you get a saffron powder, which you get for free from our website, you can just have the saffron powder. Because in Australia, what I realized is that the saffron thread absorb moisture. Saffron is from dry areas, and Iran and Middle East is quite dry in some areas. And so it's easy to grind your saffron in a mortar and pestle. But in Australia, I realized that saffron, sometimes when you open it, it absorbs certain humidity. So it's a bit difficult to actually grind that. You can have a few coarse salt or pepper. If you grind a pinch of salt or a bit of sugar, you put it with your saffron, and then you can grind your saffron better because that coarseness of salt and sugar will help break down the saffron. So basically, back to the rice, you put your butter or oil on the in the nonstick pot. You put your saffron bloom in a nonstick pot, and then you put your rice in back in the pot. You cover it, and then you let it cook for or steam for about 20 minutes to 45 minutes on a low heat, on a low to medium heat. And that's it. When after 40 minutes, about 40 to 45 minutes, you flip it. So I have a induction cooktop, and I use number 5 for my rice. If anyone has induction, 5 is a safe. 5 or 4 is a safe. And if you have a gas cooktop, then what you would call it, medium to low, whatever you call medium to low, and that will be enough for 4 to 45 minutes in your nonstick pot. And then you flip it, you will have a beautiful crusty golden plastic on top when you flip it. What I explained looks a little bit complicated, but actually it is very easy. You can download the recipe or see the recipe on my website step by step. But I just give you another way of making tajik without going through all this process, which is my lazy day. So basically, another way of it is that if you're cooking whatever, right, let's say 2 cups of rice, again, you wash it, you soak it, and then you put it in your nonstick pot, and you make, cover it with water, for, and the water needs to come to your first knuckle of the index finger. When you put your finger in and you touch the rice, the water is to your first knuckle. And for some reason, it works for everyone. You add about a tablespoon of butter and a few and like maybe half a teaspoon of salt in there as well. And then you cover it and let it cook on slow. When the water finish, you just let it cook continuously. And the good way is that you cover your pot lid with a tea towel. And what happens is that that tea towel will absorb the moisture from the rice, and it allows your rice to be fluffier. And when you flip it, you still have the tajik at the bottom because the oil helps make the tajik.
So what for your listeners out there, what if you don't know what the Persian rice is? You've just got this wonderful crust, and I'm looking at this fantastic picture here, and it's a really nice sort of with that saffron color, but it's become a lovely crust. So when you actually flip it, as Gila was saying, and by flipping it, you just need to put a plate or a platter on that saucepan and turned upside down, that crust, once you break through that crust, that rice is still beautiful and fluffy and just absolutely yummy. And apparently it is something worthwhile, but you make it sound very easy. The interesting thing is that you're actually washing all that starch out of the rice, aren't you?
Yes, you would. You would, not all the starch, but you would wash a fair bit of starch out of the rice because you don't want your rice to be sticky. It's actually the opposite of the Asian rice. Persian rice is very fluffy and light.
The thing is this something that you serve? I mean, a lot of the Middle Eastern foods serves as a beautiful banquet where you've got a few different dips and you've got lovely flavours happening. That is the centrepiece of your rice?
Exactly. You put the rice in the middle and you put all the different stews or similar to curries, or we call it khoresh. You put all those around with some salad and rice and pickle, and everyone serves themselves, or mom serves for everyone else. It is really important that you sit around the table, eat together, talk, or maybe don't talk, just enjoy looking at your food and enjoying it, because there's a little bit of pressure in the fact that when you're sitting around, you have to say something, but you actually don't. You can just enjoy the food together and enjoy each other's presence.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us on Community Kitchen. Now, people can actually go to your website, which is Exotic Bazaar, and have a look. I know that some of these flavours, I've had the pleasure of putting them into my kitchen, and I think that is just brilliant. So thank you very much for joining us, and I'm sure you've definitely got some inspiration happening out there with our listeners.
I would hope so. Thank you very much for having me, and if your listeners come to our website and purchase anything from us, you get a free Persian cookbook as well, an e-cookbook, and you can get lots of ideas from there, and you definitely get the step-by-step recipe for the Persian rice.
Thank you, Gila.
Thank you very much for having me.
Happy cooking.
Tune in same time next week for Community Kitchen, sponsored by Simply Good, your self-serve bulk food store.